Okay, we left off with Hilchos Brachos Parak Vav, and we are dealing with the halachas of Netilas Yadayim. Okay, so now the Rambam says in Halacha Yadalad, Hashokesh Dolem Adab Yado O Begalgal V'Nosel Nesokah V'Amayim Nimshachem Imena Ba'ama V'Holchinu Mashkin Hayirakos O Behema. Okay, so what's the case? Basically, a guy's got a water source that pours into a trough, and like kind of like an irrigation canal, that's going to go ahead and water the crops. So what does the guy do? V'niach yadav b'shokes, v'avru hamayim, v'shatfu al yadav, lo also lo natila. So what the Rambam says is that, what does the guy do? He sticks his hands into the trough. So now the water is running over his hands. And he says it's a clever way to be what he called Netilas Yadayim. That doesn't count as Netila. That is not a Netila. And the reason why is it's not Koach Gavra. Sharei Inkan Nosan Al Yadav. Because it's not an actual action of pouring onto his hands. Also, it's not a natural water source, but let's put that to the side. There's not an action of pouring onto his hands. However, Vim Hayu Yadav Krovos L'Shvicha Sadli Ashen Nimsu Amayim Shatfa Al Yadav. But let's say you had like a big bucket that they use to kind of pour over to water crops, and you put your hands underneath that. Since there's an actual pouring out of the water from a kli by a person, so that's why that would count as an atila. So this is the halacha that's used as the basis for the issue of using water from a faucet, which some want to argue in a pressing situation. You'd be allowed to just wash from water from a faucet, turning the water on, if that's considered koach gavra, and the water being stored in whatever storage kli it's in. So now the Rambam says in Lacha Tesvav. So with all the things, with all the conditions the Rambam placed on. So with all the questions the Rambam placed on the water or the requirements for the water or the kli. The Lacha Tesvav, he has to remind you, Mayim Sheni Stafek Lo Im Nasem Hem Lacha Lo Nase. So there's a suffix, if there's a doubt about the status of the water. For example, you're not sure if the water was used for baking or not. Im Yesh Ben Kashir or Ein She'im Behem. Im Hein Tahorin O Tzmein Suffek Natal Yadav Suffek Lo Natal Yadav Sveiko Tor Shekol Suffek Shepetar Shadayim Tor. So basically what we say is, if there's ever a suffix, if there's a suffix whether you wash your hands or not, if there's a suffix about the status of the water, if there's a suffix about whether you have the right shear or not, since this is the Rabbanan, we would say it's okay, and you wouldn't, for instance, have to wash again. Okay, how do you actually do the action of washing? So in Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam explains, Mayim HaRishonim, so the water that you wash with before you have bread, Tzarech Shiyagbiya Yadav Lamala, so your hands have to be facing up. Okay, why? Achelo Yatsu Mayim Chutz Leperek, V'yachzru V'yitamu Seidayim. So without getting to all the lachas of secondary and tertiary tumah, basically the idea is that when you pour the water over your hands, right, so you don't want the water to, let's say, hit the top of your hand, or it's in the act of pouring, cleaning it, and then dripping back down over your hand again, because there's an issue of tumah. So what you're supposed to do is your hands should be upright when you wash, and this way the water will wash over your hands and continue going down past your wrist, rather than hitting your wrist and then coming back down and getting back on your hands again. So that's why you should have your hands upright. But by Mayim Achronim, which if you recall is there because of Sakana, and you got to get this stuff off your hands, Tzarech Sheyashbu Yadav Lamata, right? So you have to make sure your hands are tilted down. Kedei Sheyetzei Kol Koach HaMelech Mal Yadav, because that's the way to ensure that all the salt or other residue that's on your hands will come off. So Mayim Rishonim, For Hamotzi, your hands are tilted up. Mayim Achronim, your hands are tilted down. excuse me. Mayim Rishonim, Nitlim, Bein Al-Gabe Kli, Bein Al-Gabe Karka. So when it comes to Mayim Rishonim, I can pour the water over a Kli, like let's say over a bucket, or I could pour it onto the ground. But by Mayim Achronim, Ina Nitlim Al-Gabe Kli. When it comes to Mayim Achronim, it must be done over another Kli. Mayim Rishonim Nitlin Bein Bechame or Bein Mitzonein. When it comes to the water that you use for Netilas Sadaim for Hamotzi, it doesn't matter the temperature of the water. Okay, it's irrelevant. However, Va'achronim Eina Nitlin Bechamen. You don't use very hot water for Mayim Achronim. V'hu Shehiyu Chamim Shatz Ledes Behen. It has, meaning when he says chamani, means the temperature of the water is boiling, or that if you touched it with your hand, you would pull your hand back. Why? So the idea is, how do you get rid of all that stuff that's on your hands? By basically wiping your hands together. If the water is burning hot, you won't be able to kind of scrub your hands together to get rid of this stuff that's on your hands. So therefore, you shouldn't use water that's too hot. But if the water was tepid, then it's fine. So the idea is that, again, Mayim Achronim's objective is to remove this residue and material from your hands. So the restrictions are a little more, there's a few more restrictions when it comes to Mayim Achronim. Okay, Lachi Yitzayim. Okay, Nota Adam Yadav Shacharis. They do the Netilah that's required before davening. And what do? They make a Tanai. Mas Nalan Kolayom. So he says to himself, you know what? I have in mind that this washing is my washing for anything I choose, let's say, eat, and any tefillah the entire day. Okay? So that works. Your guy could do that. Okay? He wouldn't have to do an Atila Sadayim for every Hamotzi, except for one problem. But he can't have any Hesachadas. So if there's any interruption in his thinking between the Netila, the Bracha Min Netila, and making Hamotzi, right? So then there would be a problem. So what, again, this goes back to the idea of what a hefsek is. A hefsek does not mean necessarily talking. A hefsek means, in halachic terms, a break in your das. So if a person, theoretically, if his mind was focused on eating, he could wash one time, and that would be good for all the other, any other time he has bread. Okay, halacha yudches. Here's also another question that always comes up. Lot adam es yadav b'mapa. This is always the another loophole, so to speak, out of washing. A person is allowed to wrap their hand in, let's say, a cloth, okay, like a napkin, and then eat bread without washing. Okay, so again, if there's no actual interaction between my hand and the bread, so Halacha says that a person wouldn't be required to wash in that situation. That's why sometimes you'll see that, like, I've heard this also done before, where you have a sandwich that's wrapped in plastic, so you open up the plastic, and you, as long as you're constantly holding the plastic and not touching the bread, so technically speaking, you wouldn't have to wash. But it doesn't mean Halachatchila. No one holds that you should not wash your hands and just rely on this method. Okay, now, on the other hand, though, let's say you're feeding someone else, okay, so you're holding the bread and you're putting it into someone's mouth, so then you wouldn't have to wash your hands. However, but the person receiving the food, the bread, meaning the feed, like the person being fed, that person, even though the other person, right, is the one feeding him, and he doesn't actually ever touch the food with his hands. So again, the person feeding would not have to do Netilas Yadayim, even though he's holding the bread, right, and feeding it to someone else. But the person receiving the food or being fed, that person would have to wash his hands, okay, even though he's not touching the food. Because there is some kesher there between the person's feedings, the person doing the feedings, hands, and the bread, and the relationship with the person who's actually being fed. V'odin le'echol b'makrifa shesarach Netilas Yadayim. So it's no different if it comes to, if you're eating with a fork, you would also have to do, Netilas Yadayim. So that doesn't get you out of it, okay? Halachi Yates, Asur L'Hachil Mishalo Natal Yadav, right? V'af Pishu Hu Nosen L'Toch Piv. So it is Asur for a person to, let's say I know the person I'm feeding didn't wash their hands. It's Asur for me to feed that person, okay? Not only that, and as I mentioned this yesterday, V'Asur L'Zalzel B'Netilas Yadayim, it is prohibited to, like, make a mockery out of Netilas Yadayim. Okay? V'tzivuyim harbe tzivu chachamim v'hizir al davar. And there's many, if you look in the Gemaras, there's many directives that the Chachamim created and warned us about Netilas Yadayim. I mean, there was some sort of, like, very, very acute concern by Chazal that people were going to end up mocking Netilas Yadayim. So they mention a lot of things in various Gemaras about how it's important to follow the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. And how critical is Netilas Yadayim? That what do you call it? Let's say I didn't have, all I had was enough water to drink, okay, for, let's say, whatever meal. That's it. So you should still set aside a little bit, okay, a little bit of that water for Natilas Adayim, and then you should eat or drink afterwards. So that's how, there's even a quote-unquote, I hate the word symbolic, but even a quote-unquote symbolic act of Natilas Adayim is critical to do before a person eats, okay? And now finally, you shouldn't think the Rambam forgot, in Halacha Chaf, the Rambam says, Sarach Adam l'nagev es yadav, so which just comes from the Gemara. A person is also obligated to dry their hands, v'akarach yochal, okay? So it's only after you end up drying your hands that you can now go ahead and eat. According to many, certainly among the Ashkenazim, nigov, drying your hands, is actually considered the end of netila. So what a person's chayav to do is that that's where you make the bracha while drying your hands. But the Rambam holds you make the bracha before, meaning on the act of washing, but you have to understand that a person's still not ready to eat bread until they dry their hands. So a person who eats bread without drying off his hands, it's as if he's eating impure bread. Now, this is also important. For those who do hold a Mayim Achronim today, so after you wash from Mayim Achronim, you must dry your hands. And you have to immediately bench. Okay? So that's an important thing. For those who do hold the Mayim Achronim today, it is imperative, it's critical, that there's no hefsek between washing your hands and benching. And that I've seen that. Let's put aside the people who do symbolic Mayim Achronim, which I wouldn't say is Mayim Achronim. Let's say you want to say it is Mayim Achronim. Once you bring out that water, you cannot talk, okay? You can't even drink water between the time that you do Mayim Achronim and benching. So if you're going to do Mayim Achronim, which there's definitely a lot of rationale to do it even today, you just recall that you go from Mayim Achronim and you immediately go to benching. No hefsek between them. Okay. Perek Zion is a very interesting perek because it's actually going on Ron's question a second ago. These things that are listed here have a very interesting halachic status. They're called minhagos rabos, as the Rambam's about to say. So not really, they're certainly not positive rabbinical commandments. And they're also, but they're not quite nothing, not just quite suggestions, they fall somewhere in between. You'll see some of them we still do today, and some we don't do today. And it's a good question, which ones still survived? How many of these are cultural? This is also a window into how meals took place back in the times of the Gemara and the times of the Rambam. So as you'll see, it's a very interesting parak. There's a range from things that are like, again, like etiquette issues, cultural situations, versus what's actually became halacha, and what's actually required to do. And you'll see some of them will be familiar, and some of them won't be, and it's a very interesting parak. Okay, so parak Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam starts off by saying, Minhagos Rabos, Nogu Chachme Yisrael B'Seuda, V'Kulon Derech Eretz. Okay, so there are many different customs that the great sages did during their meals, and they're all Derech Eretz. Okay, so this translation, Derech Eretz, is, you can go a lot of directions with it. Again, is it basically proper behavior, etiquette, meaning that Chazal wanted to let us know that even though these things are not technically halachic requirements, there is a certain like way a person should eat. He's going to start now from the beginning, meaning from the Tilas Adayim, all the way through cleaning up after the meal. This is Ve'elohein. Okay, so Kishenichdasin l'Seuda. Okay, so when it comes time to eat, and now you're going to wash your hands, okay? Hagadol shebekula notos yadav tchila. So the person of the greatest stature should be the one to wash his hands first, okay? V'achrachach nechnasin v'yoshvin mesumin. And after that takes place, then everyone goes in to sit down and to have their meal together. Hagadol mesa barosh, right? So the person with the most important stature sits. Now, we're talking about kind of like a low bench situation. So he sits at the front, or at the head. Sheni Mesav, excuse me, Gadol Mesav Arosh, Visheni Lo Lamata Heimano, right? And the second one sits below him, okay? Hayu Shlosha, Mitos, Gadol Mesav Arosh, Sheni Lo Lamala Heimano, Shlishi Lo Lamata Heimano. If there were three people, so then the, beds, so the most important person sits at the front, the second most important person sits above him, and the third most important person sits below him, okay? So basically what he's trying to say is that it should be recognizable in the meal who the most important person is, and so forth. Today, it's a little more trickier to do that. I don't think we should, when we have families over for meals, I don't think it'd be a good idea to rank who's the gadol, who's not. Okay, halacha beis. Now, bala bayis mevar hamotzi, okay, umashli mebracha, v'akakrach botzea. So the head of the house, what does he do? So he makes hamotzi, okay? He finishes the bracha, and then he breaks the bread. Okay, so you'll see this idea of making hamotzi on a whole loaf. But basically, you make hamotzi, you finish the bracha, and then you break the bread. Ha-reach, okay, a guest, mevarach berkas hamazon, kadesh yivarach lebala bayis. So the halacha is, and again, you'll see here, there's, again, certain things we don't do today, and certain things we do today. This we do today. The guest of the house, he's the person who benches. Because after he benches, he makes the Birchas Bala Bayis, which we saw before. Excuse me, Birchas Oreach, which we saw yesterday, a couple days ago. There's a bracha that the guest makes for the head of the household. So that is actually part of benching, meaning benching ends with Birchas HaOreach. So the guest is the person who should bench. Vim Hayu Kulam Bala Bayis, HaKadosh Ben Botzeev, Hu Barach Birchas Mazon. And let's say it's a family. So then the greatest person in the family, or if it's one household, the most important person in the household, that person both makes hamotzi and benches as well. Okay, but again, the halacha is that the oreach is the person who benches if he's at someone else's house. Okay, halacha gimel. Ein botzea rashai litzoa. So the person making hamotzi can't break the bread. Ad shiaviu melach oliftan lifnei kol echav echad. So this goes back to the days where bread did not have salt in it. If bread does not have salt, so then the halacha is that you can't make hamotzi until salt is on the table, or a liftan, some type of spread that will be placed on the bread. Okay, and that has to do with the chashivas of bread. Unless they were eating bread that has salt in it, meaning if they were eating bread that didn't require melach to offset the fact that it didn't have this ingredient in it, then it's perfectly okay to make hamotzi on this bread. So today, that's what people rely on, that the bread today that we have on a daily basis has salt in it. Veina botzea lo prusa katana, right? Neshi hu nira katsar ayin lo prusa gadolo yoser mikabetsa ela mineshi nira kirav asan. So basically, you don't, when you break a loaf of bread, you don't break off a very tiny piece because you don't want to appear as being cheap. And you don't break off too big of a piece because you don't want to appear as being a glutton. So you should make a, you should, what do you call it? You break off a normal piece. Aval v'Shabbos, yesh lo litzoa prusa gedola. But on Shabbos, you do break off a big piece. Ve'ena botzea elim yimakam shenispaso yafa yafa. And when it comes to the location of the loaf, when you break off the piece of bread, you want to find the sweet spot, the area of the loaf where it was baked best. So once you locate where that is, I guess it's the least doughy, it's not too doughy, not too firm, that's the spot that you break, okay? Halacha dalad, mitzvah min amufkar, is an important halacha. Ideally, a person lives so akikar shlema. So a person should always try their best. Remember, we're not talking about Shabbos here. During the week, a person should try their best to always make hamotzi on a loaf, not on a slice of bread. I know it's a little harder today since we eat sliced bread today. But again, the ideal is a person should make hamotzi on a whole loaf, and that's to do with the chashivas of bread. Im haisa sham shlema shel se'orim uprusa shel chitim. Let's say I had in front of me a loaf of barley, which is, again, the complete loaf aspect is a good. Se'orim means it's inferior. And a uprusa shel chitim, and I have a slice inferior insofar as it not being whole, chitim superior to barley. What do? Meniach shlema betocha prusa. I put the whole and the piece together, so to speak. Ubotzea mishtan. and I break from both. Kadesh yifsa mechitim and mishlema. So this way I'm breaking from both the superior quality bread, right, as well as the superior shira bread. B'shabasos v'yom tovim, chayev litzoa al shtei kikaros, notal shtei biyado b'tzei achas mehen. So on Shabbos and Yantov, as we all know, we have lecha mishnah, right? I mean, you have to have two loaves, okay? And then what I do is you should pick up both loaves in your hand, okay? And then break from one of them, okay? So according to the Rambam, I must be holding both loaves of bread in my, both complete loaves in my hand, and then I break from one of them, what do you call it, and hand out the pieces. So finally, lecha hey, habotzei adosei prusa lofnei kol echa ve'echad. When you break the bread, and this is important, the Rambam held that you should make sure that every single person has a piece of bread in front of them, okay? V'achar noto biyado, and everyone, the other person holds the bread in their hand. V'enabotzea nosem biyada ocha alimikena ya ava. But the botzea doesn't put it into the hands of the person eating. Rather, what he does is, he makes sure there's a piece in front of each person except for an ava. That's the one situation where you can hand it straight to the person. V'abotzea hu poshet yadav tchilav ocha. So now the Rambam waits till everybody has a piece of bread in front of them. The person who broke the bread then eats first. Now again, this actually is also practical for today, which is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch. The people eating the meal shouldn't start eating bread until the person who made the bracha, what do you call it, eats. But the Botzeya, the person who broke bread first, he can't eat until he hears Amen from most of the people at the meal. Then Ratzah HaBotzeya Lachal Kavod Rabbo, Ulmishu Gadlamen of Chachma, V'anichin Lifshi Yado Kodem Lo, Harshus B'yado. But the person who broke bread, he is allowed to, if he wants to give the Kavod to, let's say, his Rav or to someone greater than him, to eat first. So that he's allowed to do. Okay.